We turn and we read from 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, and I'm going to begin to read at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We thank God for his word, and we believe he will bless it to each of us this evening. The subject that I have been given tonight, and I gather that you're thinking in this series of various names given to the Lord Jesus Christ, the subject I have is, his name is Christ our Passover. Verse 7, which we've just read. Christ our Passover. In those three words, of course, there are two very important titles. First of all, Christ. The only one, the only Christ. How wonderful it is that some did recognize him as such when he was upon earth. You remember that woman that we know so well from John 4, when she had met the Saviour and he had offered her eternal or living water. She went to her friends and she told them he knew everything about her. Is not this the Christ? Our Lord himself, on the very day that he rose from the dead, as he joined Cleopas and his companion on that road to Emmaus, said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He is the Christ. And of course the word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. And coupled with that, and how wonderful it is that these two titles go together. The Christ is our Passover. How wonderful that is. There are three things that I want to leave with you very briefly tonight. What I'm going to say will be under three headings. And the first one is this, that he is the chosen one. And the reason I bring that to you is because, as you will know, the Passover is recorded in Exodus and chapter 12. That night when the Israelites, the chosen people of God, God instructed them just what they had to do. And they had to take an animal, sheep or a goat. But it had to be a chosen one. Exodus 12 and 5, the animals you choose must be a year old, males without defect. Very important. Not just any sheep. As a farmer in years gone by, I know what that would mean. It would mean that you could not take an animal that wasn't going to make the grade. No, it had to be the very best. And nothing less would do. Of course, the Old Testament and the children of Israel is very, very important history. It was a very, very important time for them. But it is also a picture of the Christian in these days. I'd like you to turn with me at this point to 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. We will read the first 2 verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. Now go down to verse 18 in the same chapter. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Just as the lambs had to be without blemish and chosen, so the Lord Jesus was chosen before the creation. No one else. Only the Lord Jesus. It was absolutely essential that Jesus Christ, that he should come to this earth and that he should have a body in order that he should die in our place upon the cross. Way back in Exodus 12, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And we read that he has had a body prepared for him. Hebrews 10:5, a body have you prepared for. Without the shedding of blood is no remission, no forgiveness. And so the Lord Jesus had to have a body in order that blood could be shed. Absolutely essential. Now in Exodus 12 and 11, and in verse 27 of that chapter, we find that it was the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. It was the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. The blood on the doorposts and the lintel. Now, will you notice, in the chapter that we have read, would you notice there in chapter 5 what we have read tonight? Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. When I say not just crucified, how dreadful it was to be crucified. But no one else that was crucified was sacrificed. He is our sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. No wonder. No wonder recorded for us in John 1:29. John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I move on quickly. We have seen the chosen one, but I find in Exodus 12 that there was a chosen time. On the 14th day of the first month, and we know exactly what time of the day it should be, it was at twilight. In God's plan of salvation, there was a particular time for them, the Israelites, to be set free. But let me emphasize something else. There is a particular time, my friend, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a particular time for you to come to Jesus Christ, confess your sin, and be born again of His Spirit. And that time is right now. This is the accepted time. This is the day of salvation. Do you know there was a particular time when Jesus Christ died upon the cross? Wicked men sought to take His life before that day, but it wasn't in God's timetable. Do you know, right back as far as Luke 9 and verse 51, right back as early in that is Luke's record of the gospel, we read that the Lord Jesus set His face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem and see all that follows in that gospel record of Luke until He came to Gethsemane. And even Gethsemane was not the right time for Him to be upon the cross. God has a timetable. And just as there was a time when they had to take the animal, the lamb, to slay it, in order that death would pass over in Egypt, there was a time, and it's now, for your salvation. Christ died for the world. He died for the world. We read that in John 3:16. But it's only those who believe in Him who are saved. These Israelites were safe. They were living under the blood. On the doorposts. On the upper lintel. Not on the sill. How many people are treading the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot? And so there was a time and they had to do exactly as they were told. We find in Exodus 12 that the lamb must be eaten in haste. No time to lose. Only one opportunity that night. Just the one opportunity that night. Because death was going to pass over and take the firstborn of the Egyptians. We find that they had to eat that lamb with their loins girt and the staff in their hand, ready to go. If you're not the Lord's, are you ready to leave the old life of bondage? Anxious to have your sins forgiven, be born again of the Spirit of God. Ready to leave. Lastly, we have seen the chosen one. As the lambs were chosen, so Jesus Christ is the chosen one from before creation. There was a chosen time, that day, the 14th day of the first month at twilight. This is the accepted time. Today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, if the Lord is speaking to you now, and you know that you've never asked for sins forgiven, and ask the Lord to be your Saviour. If you know that although other people may think you're the Lord's, in your heart of hearts, you know you're not. This, tonight, is the accepted time. But lastly, God's chosen people, those Israelites, remembered that occasion every year. They must remember it. They were told to remember that occasion when they were set free. I find in this chapter, in the 43rd verse, that no foreigner is to eat of the Passover. No foreigner. It was only those who had a special relationship with God. And there is no time tonight to go into it in depth. But the relationship was through Abraham and God's promise to him. And every believer has a wonderful relationship with God. Wonderful relationship with him. Let's just turn to Galatians and chapter 3. Galatians and chapter 3. In verse 26. So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now let's just go over the page to Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians and in chapter 2 and in verse 14. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. That is between Jew and Gentile. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. So those who have not come to trust the Saviour are foreigners. Foreigners and strangers. No foreigner could take part in the Passover feast. Look what we find as we go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. The chapter we have before us tonight. See what we find in verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I want now to just go over the pages to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. And how well we know this chapter. We read it and read it and read it. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Verse 28. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Foreigners, strangers. No one except those who are in the family of God through trusting the Saviour, and those who have an interest in his shed blood, dare come and partake as we remember him. But how wonderful that I can stand here on this platform tonight and say to you that if at this moment you have never trusted Jesus Christ, never thanked him for coming and taking a human body in order that he might suffer in your place and mine. He did suffer. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, suffered more than any other man on a cross, because no one but Jesus had the burden of the sin of the world, and he knew what it was to be on his own. Why have you forsaken me? My friend, the good news tonight is this: if you're a foreigner, if you're a stranger, if you're not yet a believer, and on the grounds of Scripture, which is so important, you dare not partake of these things. You can, because at this moment you can seek the cleansing and the forgiveness of the Saviour. Be born again of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you seek that forgiveness and you confess your sin before him, the Holy Spirit will do his work and you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Will you do that? Will you do it now? For now is the accepted time. Before you break bread together, we're going to sing